The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome, everybody. It is Need to Know on TKR. Kip Kiefer back from a journey, adventure, whatever you want to call it. I was joking with Tony. I'm a little late recording the show because it was almost like, you know how those Hollywood stars or even major professional football players sometimes just kind of wander off on a bender for a couple days and don't live up to their responsibilities and show up for work and do the things they're supposed to do. Well, that wasn't exactly the story with me, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about it because I think there's some interesting themes that I can develop by giving you a description of my last few days. Just to give you the background, we were watching, of course, last week when the Alabama Crimson Tide beat Clemson, wrapped up the first trip ever for Alabama to the Final Four. My son had just turned 32 years old the previous Thursday on April the 4th. And this was all going on, of course, on Saturday in one of the two semifinal games for the opportunity to go to the Final Four. Long and short of the story, he looked at me and said, "So, are we going to Phoenix?" And I said, "You should go. You're an Alabama grad. You know, I'm certainly a big SEC fan, but." Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of a tough call as far as the wear and tear on an old guy. But anyway, I thought about it after he went upstairs and remembered that I think it was 2019 or 2020, one of the others. I don't remember it being the COVID year, but it's possible. My older son, Case, who I've talked about on the show here before, who lives in Nevada in Las Vegas and is the sports editor of the Las Vegas Sun. Case went to Kansas University for his college experience. He was a writer for the student newspaper, later the editor of that publication. He was on hand when Kansas won their national championship over Memphis. John Calipari, who Kiefer and Curry are going to talk about this week coming up. Calipari was coach of Memphis. If you remember that game, Memphis had a big lead and melted down in the last couple of minutes, couldn't make their free throws. Kentucky came all the way back, a three-pointer late in the game, tied it, and then Kansas blew them out in overtime. So we had a national championship in hoops in the family in the bank with Case's alma mater. And a couple of years ago, Kansas once again went to the Final Four and once again played for the national championship. And on that occasion, the day after Clay's birthday, and Clay, because of his brother, has been a lifelong Kansas fan as well. We just hopped in the ride and blew on into New Orleans and we're not there, of course, for the Saturday game. Kansas had won their game. Duke and North Carolina played, and North Carolina won that game. So we went down to the Superdome and caught the finals for the Kansas Jayhawks and North Carolina Tar Heels. North Carolina led by 17 at the half, and Kansas made up that deficit in quick order and went on to win the game and a second national championship in Case's time. So I started thinking about when he went upstairs and started contacting his really good friends, Riley and Alec, who went to Alabama with him and also were high school classmates, two of his closest friends. And so I walked upstairs eventually and said, "You know what? I've been thinking about it." And when I did think about it, I said, "You know, this is his team. This is Alabama. I'm an SEC guy. Tony Curry and I host the starting lineup. Uh, our, our sports oriented program. I had the opportunity to go. It was going to be ridiculously expensive, but it was just one of those things where I said, I'm in. And so next thing you know, but I said, I'm not going to plan anything. You guys, because I've been the planner my whole, I can't tell you folks how many times I've planned trips. I've coordinated everything. I've done all the legwork. I said, you guys will be going without me anyway. So why don't you just tack me on, and you know, I'll pay for a lot of the stuff, especially food and drinks and things along those lines. But just count me in as one of the fellas. And it was complicated by the fact, and I think this is something that a lot of you will find remarkable, and it's kind of the theme of today's show, is that when extraordinary events happen, yes, it's inconvenient. Yes, it's expensive. My son had planned to go this past Monday. We've got relatives up in the middle of Arkansas, and he had planned to go with his mom, my ex-wife, Kathy, to go up and be in a position to watch the total eclipse in a totality zone. Now, if you didn't really follow the details of the eclipse, and I know this is jumping all over the page, but it will make sense, I promise. That was their plan, and she was going to be flying up at the end of the week for that, and celebrate his birthday with us, with some dinners and some celebrations with friends. And then they were going to go off. I had no real interest in being on hand in the middle of Arkansas and fighting traffic and everything else to witness the eclipse. But that was their plan. Well, as soon as Alabama wrapped up that game and was going to the Final Four, Plate put in a phone call to Miami, where my ex-wife Kathy lives, his mom, and said, you know what? I'm not going to the eclipse now, but I'm going to the Final Four in Phoenix, and you are welcome to come as well. And Kathy is such a gamer and such a, such a great mom that, you know, she said, okay, well, and this is not a person in our married years who took change well, but to give Kathy credit, she has really reached a point where, you know, and this is what I think both of us have been really solid on, that our kids come first, what they want and really what's best for them. And I mentioned my son's 32 now. It's not like he's in high school, but she said, okay, well, I'm not comfortable because I don't know all the arrangements, but if you want to go there instead, you know, let's go there instead. So she was in. So the travel party was myself, my ex-wife, Kathy, who we have a great relationship now. It was a little dicey when things unraveled almost 20 years ago. But she is so cool and so laid back now and such just game for anything, which is a real transition and a real personality progressing thing that I'm really proud of her and give her a tremendous amount of credit. She gets a gold medal for adaptability and for being, again, just a great mom. So we were there to hang out with Clay, which is unusual because your 32-year-old child probably doesn't want his mom and dad around typically, especially with his two best friends going along as well, Riley and Alec. But there we were in the Atlanta airport a week and ready to go on out to the Final Four in Phoenix. Of course, a late night flight was delayed right off the bat. Arriving at the gate, it was announced that, well, yeah, we got a little bit of a problem. We don't have a crew currently. Usually, if you don't have a crew, it's because they are traveling from some other place and have not arrived at your airport yet. In this case, Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in Atlanta, which kind of a busy place, only the busiest airport on earth. Long and short of the story was they never really explained, because usually they'll say, well, they're coming in on a flight, it was delayed, and they're going to be here you know, at approximately, you know, whatever time you want to name, we were supposed to leave late night, and it was already, I don't know, I think we arrived over there around 9:30, and we're supposed to leave around 11, but this was something different, and they never explained it, but we got a crew coming in, which that, I took that to mean that these were people living in Metro Atlanta that were grilling and drinking some beers or, you know, whatever, at the bowling alley. And they gave them a call and say, "Hey, Pilot Joe, can you take this group on out to Phoenix?" So the pilot arrives and there's still no first officer. Anyway, we didn't get going, on this flight. It was supposed to leave about 11:20, I think. We did not take off until like 1:45 when the crew finally assembled. So you start off right away, and of course the Final Four is the very next day. So we arrive in Phoenix about and they're on Pacific time. We arrived there and got to our hotel around four. I think we were there at 3:30 actually Pacific time. So you do the math of how long that took. So right away you start off with really a demanding physical thing with a lame excuse from the airline. And I'll talk about the boarding process and all. If you haven't flown in a while, I think you really need to know, which is what we do here, talk about airline arrangements and things. But we finally get there, and of course, we're all ambitious that first day. We're about a mile and a half from the arena. We walk from our hotel to the Cardinals Stadium in Glendale. 75,000 people there. It's just a real extravaganza, truly Americana. You got four different fan bases, although I'm going to give a lot of credit to everybody from Purdue University because they turned out. Purdue came in droves. There were tens of thousands of them. Obviously, they bought up a lot of the tickets from some of the other fan bases. The other schools, Alabama, UConn, and North Carolina State. I would say North Carolina State was probably the second highest representation. They had not been to the Final Four since 1983. The great Jim Valvano leading the Wolfpack to probably the most stunning upset in NCAA tournament history when they beat Akeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, Michael Young, four guys who would play in the NBA for an extended period on that five-man starting lineup for Houston. And you remember the game, Derek Wittenberg, the point guard, threw up a desperation shot down a point at the very end of the game, and Lorenzo Charles caught the air ball and just laid it in while Houston was standing around waiting for a rebound. Charles is the only one who tracked it, realized it was nowhere near hitting the rim. So it was a de facto pass, but it's one of the most famous plays ever. And you remember Jim Valvano dashing around the court, just completely out of his mind. NC State has not been, and it's a basketball powerhouse from the ACC. They have not been for a long time. Bama fans did well. They showed up, but I think it's such a new thing for Alabama. I was surprised there was not more Alabama representation, but anyway, it was a great event and it's a great venue for it because the Cardinals Stadium is located in an entertainment district in Phoenix called Westgate, the Westgate Entertainment Area. And it's probably 4 or 5 square miles of every outstanding restaurant, all these great outlet malls with every major retailer in the country, entertainment attractions. We went, Tiger Woods has a brand new venture called Top Stroke, which is basically the modern day equivalent to the game we grew up as kids playing, putt-putt. Nothing like putt-putt. You don't bank it off wooden pegs and try to angle it to the hole. This is a legitimate putting game for somebody that's golf oriented. Tiger has put undulations and bumps and some strange breaking putts, but on a real nice carpeted surface that rolls very true. But meanwhile, you can have your drinks brought to you on the course. You can revel all you want. They've got a great bar, great music going on, really good food. Tiger needs to make some more money, folks. He's struggling a little right now, which he's being facetious. Tiger is going to cash in huge. They're building these things all over the place. And it's putt-putt for big people. And so it was a lot of fun. And I have to brag, even though my vision sucks down and my golf game has gone the way of the dodo, in our group, I was the only one to make a hole in one. So because it's not putt-putt where you might make three or four in one turn of 18 holes, but great fun there. Went to the games, had a big time. Alabama played a great game. If you're listening here in home territory of TKR, the Alabama Crimson Tide played a fine game against a team, folks, that's just a machine. Connecticut is such an efficient, such a powerful, well-organized, a team that can adjust and play any style game they need to play, a team that can stop you, a team that can score when they have to score. I was so impressed. This was a tremendous machine, this team, and they don't have superstars. It's a great lesson to be learned for especially a lot of young people that, in a team sport setting, this is the ultimate team. These guys play together. If you take away one thing, they hurt you with something else. Alabama played a fantastic game. I mentioned my older son, Case. He was texting us from Las Vegas, and he's a sage viewer, let's say, of sports, and really watches it from an analytical standpoint. I thought he said something extraordinary about midway through the second half when Connecticut had about a 5-point lead before they pulled away and won by 14. But he said, you know, Alabama, if they were playing anybody else in the country is playing at such a high level, they would probably be ahead by 10 points. But unfortunately, they played UConn second year in a row. Coach Dan Hurley and the Huskies deservedly win the national championship. The Purdue fans were so excited when they beat North Carolina. The roof was coming off every time they hit a shot. They had 7'4.5", Zach Edey, their superstar center. But they were no match for Connecticut on Monday night. And the Huskies win a second championship. But Alabama fans should be proud because Alabama played them tougher than Purdue did in the finals. So congratulations to Connecticut. Well-earned, great team. Let's see what happens with Dan Hurley going forward. A lot of rumors flying around out there, and we're going to talk more hoops on Kiefer and Curry this week. So do not miss that program as we talk about John Calipari and where a lot of the dominoes might fall. Alabama fans already sweating because their great coach, they hired Nate Oates, who took Alabama to its first Final Four. A lot of angst with the Alabama guys the rest of the weekend when the Calipari rumor broke that he may be going to Arkansas. They're worried about their guy being caught up in some of that coaching shuffle. But hopefully Nate Oates, who signed a big extension recently, is going to be sticking around on the capstone. So that was pretty much the weekend. A lot of fun last night. Had the flight back. Once again, I was not in on the planning. I said, what time are we flying out on Tuesday? They said 11:30. And I said, oh, that's good. We should be back by, early evening or whatever. And, 11:30 PM. Because again, when you let, some other, factions make plans, they look at things like price, and I'm not irresponsible. I don't pay, I don't say, well, whatever it takes, but I'm not going to be completely adamant about saving, $100, $150, whatever, if I'm going to be able to fly at a reasonable time and get back at a reasonable time. We were on a red eye last night after hanging around yesterday in Phoenix and entertaining ourselves, at one point even going to a movie. First time I've been in a theater in I can't tell you when, and I think it'll be the last time, because we went and saw Monkey Man, which is a movie that if you'd have told me that it had about 75% subtitles, was so dark you couldn't even see what was going on. It's set in India. It's kind of a grim story of a guy fighting not only in the ring, but fighting corrupt government officials. And it really gets intense. But again, with my vision not being the best, tiny subtitles, not necessarily my kind of entertainment, but that's the kind of things you do when you're trying to kill time before a late night flight. I wanted to mention the airlines too, because if you haven't flown in a while, I'm struck with this, and I think it's a good thing to know that, you know, in this society that we have where it's all about, you know, not labeling people and not, you know, discriminating against people. And we're always crying about the order of things where the rich just get richer and all of that. And really there's kind of a huge movement to, you know, get us all on the same page. Well, the airline industry hasn't got that memo, despite the fact that we're on Delta, and Delta does a lot of commercials about this globalist kind of, you know, kumbaya with the rest of the world. But the class system in the airlines has always been bad, and it's worse now than it's ever been. You know, Delta, it's time to board, we'll start making announcements, and they have you divided into about a dozen to 15 different groups. They've got gold class, they got first class, they've got silver medallion, they've got you know, all these other categories. They've got comfort rows, which are rows 10 through 14 that are maybe a couple of inches more leg room. And they're, you know, again, it's just an opportunity for them to charge you more money. So again, my committee booked our flights, and we had seats kind of right in the middle of the cabin, and we had a whole row, and I had my own seat on the opposite aisle, and it was all good. But we were like the last people to board, and it was like there was a great Southern Airlines commercial back in the 70s where a guy's getting on the plane, and he's walking through first class on his way to his seat. And, you know, there's all these girls wearing togas and the gold leaves in their hair, and they're feeding grapes to the customers. And there's like musicians playing all kinds of instruments. It's just this great party. And this kind of, you know, chunky businessman with his cheap suit is kind of dancing along, and they shove him along and push him through a curtain. And the back of the cabin is a bunch of chickens and goats and all these kind of refugee looking people that, some of them kind of lying on the floor like they're in agony. It was like a total squalor in the regular. And Southern Airlines at that time goes, you're not going to be made to feel like a second class citizen on Southern Airways. But it just strikes me how in this society where all of that is supposed to be evil, that Delta propagates that. And I'm sure a lot of the other airlines do too, but Delta worse than almost any of them. Because again, we didn't get any discount on our tickets. It isn't like we bought, you know, $10 tickets. I think, you know, if you broke it down in a round trip way, the flight back last night was about $400. So it isn't like that, you know, we're the economic depressed group, but we are last to board. We go to the back of the bus. I feel like Rosa Parks, you know, shelling out $400 and being treated like a 10th class citizen. But just an observation on airlines and their hypocrisy, because it's pretty bad. I will give them credit. They got us out on time last night. We landed in Atlanta this morning. The Atlanta airport is just an absolute marvel, because when we stepped off the plane at 6:35 this morning, Atlanta time, there were people scurrying about. There were tens of thousands of people going wherever they're going. And the Atlanta airport is a wonder to behold. So that's what I did on my weekend. I feel like I'm back in elementary school. Kip, what did you do this weekend? That was it. I went to the Final Four. I spent great time with my son and my ex-wife and my son's two very close friends. We had a lot of laughs. We had a lot of fun and watched some great basketball in a something so truly Americana. Four teams in the final, four different fan bases, in just a great place to have that event. And I tell you, it was expensive. It was exhausting. It was, a big something to bite off. But on the other hand, it is a memory. It was an adventure. And I am damn glad I went. And at some of the times when things, the arrangements were slow and there were a lot of waits and the flight times seemingly were forever. You don't have that perspective till you get back. But right now I am grateful for the time with loved ones, grateful to have the opportunity to be on hand for those games and see just a part of the country that's really booming. If you get a chance to go to Phoenix, the Westgate Entertainment Area, absolutely fantastic. Great food, great entertainment. All kinds of sports, of course. They've got all four major professional teams, Arizona State University there. And it was great to be back in Phoenix, where a place where I spent time during my career. It's been almost 20 years now since I spent a lot of time out there, but I loved every minute of it, and I'm really, really glad I went. So that's what you need to know this week. Just a little bit of a cultural break from the same old, same. I want to talk about next week, and I'm going to give a quick promo for it, and we got to run. I'm struck by the fact that here we are basically financing a war against Russia and Vladimir Putin. Also having problems all over the world with the Chinese and their really brash moves politically and economically and really just in totality of really trying to assert themselves, become the dominant power on Earth. And yet here we are, and we'll talk about this next week. I'll give you really poignant examples. Here we are basically in partnership with the people that are trying to destroy us. And I'll have a whole lot of places where we are working cooperatively. We're partners with China and Russia when they are our arch adversaries. And, I'm just going to ask the question, what's up with that? So we'll talk about that next week here on Need to Know. Once again, do not miss Kiefer and Curry. We're going to do a little follow-up on the college basketball season, the coaching carousel, which in football and basketball, now that the season's over, is always fascinating. And do not miss the starting lineup Saturday mornings, 10:30 on ABC 3340. Kip Kiefer, Tony Curry, the legend from the Paul Feinbaum Show, Case Kiefer, who we talked about from Las Vegas, Terry Quillian joins us periodically. We've got the best starting lineup and great guests. We had Mark Ingram last week, the AD from UAB. He was phenomenal. We've had James Spann and Paul Feinbaum. We've had great guests, and we're going to have more to come. So do not miss it. 10:30 Saturday morning, ABC 3340. It's Kip and Tony, Kiefer and Curry's starting lineup. And you can also catch that show, if you can't watch it live on Saturday, right here on TKR or wherever your favorite platform to get podcasts might be. But right now, just go ahead and get that TKR sign up. If you're listening to us on one of the Apple profiles or some other source, Tony's got a great network going, a great thing going, and you need to be part of it. Just go to TKR and do a few clicks and you are in the club. Thanks, everybody, for letting me indulge and wax poetic about my weekend. Again, I feel like I'm in the second grade. I'm Kip Kiefer. This is Need to Know. We'll be back with you again next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.